Thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. A little Christopher Cross, the dulcet tones, and getting us ready for getting out on the water, because at 9:40 on Tuesdays, Pacific time, we talk to Karen Lyle from SailSportTalk.com. How you doing, Karen?
I am doing fantastic. You know, I love the fact that after we do our broadcast, that we reach the American Forces Network out there all around the world, because today I have brought a guest to talk about the Pacific Interclub Yacht Association's wheelchair regatta, which really is actually taking veterans out on the water with boating. So I would love to have us introduce past Staff Commodore Linda Blue to our show. And so if you want to welcome her, I am all for that.
Well, you just did. I'll do it again. Linda Blue, Staff Commodore of Pacific Interclub Yacht Association, thank you for being with us. And tell us more about taking wounded veterans out on boats, please.
Thank you for having me. Yes, the Margot Brown Wheelchair Regatta every year takes out between 140 to 300 veterans that are housed in Northern California veterans homes. So it's a kind of a big operation. We put them on buses, and they come to Ensmel Yacht Club, who donates all of their the rental for the event and all the setup and everything and the dock space. And then these veterans are put into non-motorized wheelchairs and then greeted by the fire departments, who will lift them onto our private yachts that are part of all of our member yacht clubs. So we had about 25 different yacht clubs participating this year, as well as the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers boat, the John Dillard.
You know, Linda, I love this event, and it's something that I've supported as a PICYA member and delegate myself throughout the years, just, you know, by promoting it and talking about it. But how long has this been happening? This is a legacy event, isn't it?
Yes, this is the 28th year of the Wheelchair Regatta. It was started by Staff Commodore Margot Brown, and she is important to PICYA because she was the first female Staff Commodore.
So, could you tell us about some of the challenges for setting this up? And, I mean, it's more than just putting in a few gangplanks and ramps, right?
No, it's actually getting the boats to come and donate their time and their fuel to get to Ensmel Yacht Club. It's kind of an all-weekend event. We have a skipper's meeting on Fridays, and then the event happens from about 9 to 2. And then usually they stay the night and leave on Sunday. But it's very challenging to get boats now. I used to have no problem getting 30 boats. And now with the fuel costs and less people boating, it's twisting arms. I also run the opening day on the bay, skippers as well. And that's also been a challenge.
Linda, you've been boating up in the Delta for almost all your life, haven't you? Tell us what from your perspective as a boater, how does this event impact the captains who take their boats out with the veterans?
Well, usually if I can get them to come once, they're going to come every year. It's just an amazing gift to give to somebody that's institutionalized in a VA home, and we all kind of see it as a way to pay it forward. Some of the veterans actually stay in contact with the skippers, and the skippers go and visit them and stuff like that. On my own personal boat, I had a group of people that came for 6 years, and sadly, every year, you know, one would be missing, and it was a super, super tight bond that I ended up getting with these veterans.
I, before Super Bowl 50 10 years ago, which was out here, once again, I co-hosted the Wounded Warriors football game, which was at College of San Mateo the day before the Super Bowl. And there were a lot of, not just Wounded Warriors, but these the bravery was unbelievable. I mean, there were guys, their limbs were gone, their faces were burned off. And it's a kind of bravery that you mostly just hear about or read about. And when you see it in person, it is incredibly humbling and awe-inspiring, isn't it?
It is.
Linda, what what would you say was the most inspiring story that you've heard, you know, coming out of the wheelchair regatta over the years?
Well, a lot of these veterans are going through some painful things, you know. Some of them have lost limbs. Some of them, you know, are losing them, you know, as, you know, time goes on. And I think some veterans have told me that, you know, when they're having a bad day, they just think of being out on the water. It's kind of, you know, when they tell you to go to a happy place and think of something good, that's what they think of. And we've had veterans that, you know, it's the only time they've been out of the hospital in years. So it's just, it's really rewarding.
All right. Just last question for you. Can you tell us more where we can go online and find out about it?
Yes, there's a website up at picya.org, which is the Pacific Interclub Yacht Association's website under regattas. And throughout the year, anybody can donate. People do memorial donations as well for veterans that have been with us on the wheelchair regatta, and they actually leave memorial donations to the wheelchair regatta.
All right.
Find out about being a skipper there as well.
All right. Linda Blue, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Linda.
Thanks for having us. Bye-bye.
All right. And, Karen, we have some free time now, and I thought I would ask you about your latest trip or your latest planned trip out on the waves, because I know you were doing British Virgin Islands, going up and down the coast. What's going on with you?
You wanted to know, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, my latest trip is going to be to take Rick out on a sailboat.
Besides that, what else do you have planned?
Well, actually, I've been actually on above and below the water. So when I went to the British Virgin Islands this last time, I was, you know, sailing from island to island. That was my 10th year for that trip. And usually I take a couple weeks, and it really is a vacation for me. And I go snorkeling. But this last time I went with, some close friends, and basically one of our snorkelers was a diver, and he persuaded me to get my Scuba Diving International open water diving certification. So I am now a certified diver and can go below the water as well as beyond the water. And so that has kind of opened my horizons. I'm actually looking at possibly going to Belize and doing some diving there, but, you know, just kind of exploring the different opportunities. And I love the fact that I could go to Monterey and dive in the cold water with a 7 mil suit that I'm really looking forward to, like, warmer water, too.
I'm always amazed at the, because, you know, like in movies, when there's a huge scuba tank, you go in backwards so you don't, like, break your back with that thing hitting you as you go in. And it's very counterintuitive. I know it's hard sometimes, like you can train in a pool to breathe through that self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. How long did it take you to have it at least feel normal?
You know, I think it was actually 4 full days and 10 dives for me. It actually isn't something for everyone, I would say. I think boating is for almost everyone. It's just great to be able to get on a boat. You're breathing air. You're above the water. You're having a great time on the water, whatever kind of boat you're sailing in, or motoring in, or whatever or ferrying in, or whatever it is. Being under the water is a different experience, and it takes getting used to, because you have to balance that tank on your back. So, and also you have to use your breathing. And I think the most fascinating thing to me was that when you're on the bottom and when you have achieved what's called neutral buoyancy, which is where you're just kind of floating, kind of like an astronaut in space. You're floating in the water at this one point. If you want to go up or down, you actually do it with your breath. So you take like a little bit bigger breath in, and that makes you go up a little bit, and you release maybe not so much air, and you can stay up and go over this little reef that you're swimming towards. And you don't use your hands either. You know, it's not like swimming snorkeling on the top. You keep your hands still, and you just use your fins, kind of like almost in a frog kick or like a paddle on a boat, where you use the left fin if you want to go to the right, or the right fin if you want to go to the left, with just a little bit of, you know, motion. So I didn't know that it would be like that, because I was a competition swimmer. I've done years of snorkeling. I thought it was just like swimming underwater, but it really is a very different experience. It's really like being an astronaut underwater.
That's really cool, and I'm sure it's an amazing feeling. Do you feel the pressure? Because I mean, I've been in some pools that have the Olympic depth. They go way down, and just going down like 10, 12 feet, you can start to feel the pressure on your head. What's that like?
Well, you have to basically release the pressure and clear your ears as you go down. Mm. So what you can do is you can hold your nose. Did you hear me holding my nose? you can see my smile, and you can hear my nose being pulled.
Very good.
So you hold your nose and blow, and that kind of equalizes the pressure. But for me, I will actually tug my ear a little bit, and also not to go down too fast. You know, so you have this jacket that has air in it that you can add and subtract air from in addition to your lungs. And so when you're on top of the water, you have the jacket inflated. And when you want to go down, you deflate the jacket, and then you just drop slowly, and you can alternate how your breathing out will take you down, taking a breath in will take you up. And so you kind of regulate how you go down, so you don't go down too fast. And that gives you a chance to clear your ears. Once the ears are clear, you don't really feel the pressure. The pressure comes, it's just like when you go up in a plane and you have to clear your ears, you know, yawning or whatever, drinking water or whatever you're doing for that in the air. It's the same underwater.
Great stuff with Karen Lyle, and go to sailsportstalk.com for more information, and we'll talk to you next week.
It sounds like a great plan, Rick. I always look forward to every Tuesday, Sailsport Talk with Rick Kittle.
All right, Karen Lyle, everyone. We'll take a quick break, and we will come on back on Sports Byline.